So this is Red News Podcast. I always forget the numbers. It's either 18 or 19. I never remember. I'm here in Oslo for pre-season. The outstanding hospitality from Lars and his friends has been brilliant. It's been a lovely city, apart from the beer, which is just mentally expensive. How do you cope? So I'm with Lars, and it's before the game. And how are you doing? Are you looking forward to today?
Yeah, very much so. You know, this is the first time United are here since 2012. And before then, it was 2002. So it doesn't happen every day. So we are really excited about this.
It used to. I mean, when I was growing up, it was Fergie's favourite choice, coming to Scandinavia, low-key. I was saying to you earlier, like, there was no paparazzi, there was no security. We got our first interview just walking into the team hotel in Kristianstad, I think it was. But we had a loyal following, and it's sort of like the global appeal's changed, that this is no longer the Fergie's favourite, you know, destination. So it must be a bit harder for your guys not to see United every year.
Yeah, it is, but times are changing, and as you say, now it's a big global brand.
Yeah.
And I understand that the club has to go where the money is.
Yeah.
And but Scandinavia, I know that the players like it here.
Yeah.
The climate is fine, and it's only more or less the same time difference.
Yeah.
So I know that the players, I'm sure that Mourinho too.
Yeah. So you had what's your if you explain to the readers, what's your role in the supporters group?
I'm editor of the magazine. That's my role.
Yeah. And you your committee helped organise events for this weekend. So how much planning does that all take?
We've been planning this for months really, for the two events yesterday. One outside, outdoor, for the kids,
yeah.
And then here in Scotsman in the evening.
And you had Irwin, Bojan.
We had Dennis Irwin and Ronnie Johnson,
yeah.
and Bojan, he came really without us asking him.
Yeah, lovely.
So that was very kind.
They were all, Andy Metten did a good Q&A with them we're in the Scotsman bar. I have to say, they were all very relaxed.
Yeah.
Well, Chucky particularly relaxed. But it went well then.
He's so good at that,
yeah.
Doing the Q&A. All the players trust him. And Andy, he does the balance between,
yeah,
serious stuff and
we get them to open up. They,
yeah,
know him,
yeah.
You know, they've done books with him. So, I mean, did you get a good feedback?
Yeah, very much feedback. I went with Dennis Irwin up to the airport this morning because he had to fly home this,
yeah,
morning. And he texted me when he was through the security and thanked me for everything, and he was so happy with the
evening.
Well,
he stayed. I mean, I was so impressed. There's two times I told him last night. In 1997, when we played in Hong Kong, there was about 20 of us out, and the players were on their like night relax out, and him and Teddy came in the bar we were in and stayed till 6 in the morning. But Dennis, at the end of the night, I mean, he knocked it back. He came up and shook every one of our hands and said, thanks for the support on the tour, lads. Appreciate it. And I thought, God, that's, you know,
yeah,
like we're barely able to walk at the end of the night. But I thought even last night,
yeah,
he's staying with the fans. It's special, that, isn't,
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, he does. He's a fantastic guy, but unfortunately, I think he's a dying breed.
With
his generation.
Will we get the players of today being as open and wanting money side might affect it, might,
yeah,
not?
Yeah, might be. But I doubt it. The present players, I'm sure they are nice, but they don't have this contact,
yeah,
with the fans anymore.
But then that's our generation. We grew up watching these players as our heroes, so there's a special bond. I prefer it that you get the opportunity to hear Chucky and,
yeah,
Dennis speak,
yeah,
but,
yeah,
rather than a current player who's worried if the paper's going to pick up on a headline or anything like that.
Exactly.
So, I mean, your thoughts on the season, the football side of things, the tour's gone well. How are you feeling about United at the moment?
I'm fairly optimistic because we went down a long, long way after 2013 when Fergie left. But I think we have picked up since then, and we are definitely on the way back up.
Yeah.
So I'm fairly optimistic.
There's rumours today in the English press, which what I've been hearing for a good while, Matic, he wants to come. Jose's his first choice, not Dyer. I think if we get that position, I'm really excited by Lukaku, I have to say. I think he is bang on what we've needed. He's a clinical scorer. He's a, you know, he is going to welly them in. And if we get that sorted, you know, it's what we've lacked for 3 years is scoring goals. So I think we need someone to put it on his head, though. If you take Tony Valencia in his great form that year, popping it onto Rooney's head, if we get someone like that, because Lukaku is great in the air, so we've got to utilise that. We've got to use, to, you know, use his strength. And I think Pogba's going to have a great season.
I think too. I think Pogba is just going to be better and better.
Yeah.
And Zlatan did marvellously, I think, in his first season. Hopefully he will come back one day. But as you say, he's with Lukaku being much more mobile player.
Yeah.
So I think United will benefit from that.
Is the Zlatan mania, does that travel over to Norway, or is it purely a Swedish? I mean, do the Norwegians appreciate?
Oh, yeah. Definitely so. Definitely.
Because I never got it with him until he saw him at Bournemouth. I always thought, you know, heart act, it's not as good as he... And then you see him and you think, oh, he had it, didn't he?
That was what Dennis Irwin said yesterday.
Yeah.
Until you actually see him in the flesh, you realise how good he is.
Yeah. Who else excites you?
I think Mkhitaryan at his best. I think Mkhitaryan will have a great season now. And also Ander Herrera.
Yeah.
He understands the club. He understands what it's all about.
Yeah.
So I have a passion for him too.
Well, I think Jose has been very shrewd in reducing large wages of players who were underachieving.
Mm.
And he's slowly getting the age down. And I think Fergie's, what people sometimes forget about when he was creating great sides, was that slow rebuilding and getting an average age. So you've got these players for 4 or 5 years, you know, and that in their prime. If we can sort the defensive pairing out, I worry, I sadly don't think Jones and Smalling, you know, are going to do anything but just injure themselves repeatedly. So if Bailly and Lindelof...
Yeah, I think Bailly and Lindelof...
What, have you seen much of Lindelof? I mean, have you seen him emerge?
I haven't seen much of him, but what I have seen is, I think he and Bailly, not perhaps from the very start, but I think in the long term, or in a few months' time, I think Mourinho will pair them too.
Yeah, he seems very intelligent. What is it with you Scandies and being so bloody intelligent? You speak multiple languages, whereas us thick English, we can't cope with anything. What is it? Seriously, is it the water or something?
Not
the expensive beer.
Interviewed a few of his former coaches this summer in his hometown, the Västerås, and they say that he was always very mature for his age.
Yeah.
You know, he trained with, for his first team, he trained with the first team when he was 12.
Right. Wow.
So that shows you.
Yeah.
And of course, he made his debut for Västerås when he was 16.
Yeah. That's good. Well, I like the sound of that. And you've kindly interviewed me for the magazine today, so I'm going to ask you a question you asked me. In all your years, how many years have you been editing it for, Lars?
I started writing for the Scandinavian branch in 1995.
Right.
But I became an editor in June 2000.
2000. So we're on the 17th anniversary. So right.
Yeah.
20th, a big piss up.
Yeah.
Who's your three favourite interviews that you've done? This is your question, back to you.
Yeah, I have to say Eric, I've been fortunate enough to interview him twice.
Oh, great.
One in Sevilla and one in Paris.
Brilliant.
I think
are you just in awe of him?
I think the second one in Paris was better than the first one. You know, we did the interview over lunch, so we chatted for 2 hours.
Right. Has he just had the aura about him?
Yes. He's that kind of person, when he walks into the room, you take one step back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine he could say just complete and utter bollocks, but it's still sounding great. You know, like, even pass me a napkin would just be elegant.
Yeah.
Right, so number two? Is that your number one, or are you doing it in order? Or are they all combined?
Yeah. Or they are all
combined. Yeah, all right, go on then.
Eric Cantona. George Best and Harry Gregg.
What was Bestie like?
He was... I met him at his old favourite pub in London.
Oh, the Thane Arms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I met him there. Asking him whether what he wanted a drink, which he did. Bought him a brandy.
Yeah.
And we chatted for nearly 2 hours.
Oh,
he seemed so gentle,
yeah.
So kind.
It's a great story of the football, but a sad story of the life.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah.
I thought the BBC Two documentary, have you seen that?
No.
You must get that. Work a way of doing that. It's very, very... it's beautiful watching him play, but it's so sad at the same time when you think...
Yeah.
That,
he died when he was 50.
Way too young.
Yeah.
And going back to your United time, when did you first start going?
I started supporting United in 1970 because of George Best when I saw him on TV.
Yeah.
My first match live was 76-77, Tottenham away.
Right.
When I was 16.
And that was when you saw the... Because this is what I meant to ask you. You've done the piece for the mag. Is when you're seeing the madness of the 70s, how was that for you as like a young Norwegian kid coming to England, seeing it all?
It was, you know, it's unbelievable because we didn't know this much. Today you get info through internet and everything, but all we had seen clips in the paper about the famous Red Army. Me and my brother, we went up to Euston Station to meet the famous Red Army.
Yeah.
Off the train, all they could hear was United. Oh, we loved it.
Yeah,
we loved it.
It never leaves you then.
No,
never.
No.
I mean, you've done it in an era when there wasn't Ryanair, EasyJet. I mean, the sacrifices you've made, you've seen so much. I mean, how hard was it playing in games in the old days for you to get over?
It was harder and easier because we knew it was a 3 o'clock kick off Saturday, so we could book in advance, but it was before the cheap flights, so first few matches we took the ferry from Gothenburg, which took 24 hours.
Jesus.
To Felixstowe,
right,
and taking the bus to Gothenburg and a train from Felixstowe, the whole trip took 40 hours each way.
To see Dave Sexton's football as well. It's like, it was bad enough with Van Gaal travelling half an hour, let alone that. How many were doing it then, do you think?
No, not many.
Not many?
Not many, no.
When did it really take off here, do you think, with United?
The supporters club was formed in 1981, but it really didn't take off until, I would say, mid-90s.
Yeah.
Was Ole when he came, and Ronnie when they came, had a big impact.
Yeah, I mean, but I was saying to you earlier, I can remember in the 80s we were selling the mag, and there'd be hardcore Reds like Henrik Stovley, you know, yourself, making that journey. I've got nothing but admiration, you know, going the extra bloody 10,000 miles to make that journey to see United. You can't explain it, can you, what this drug is?
No.
It's really hard, isn't it?
It's very hard to explain. And whenever we go over, sit on the plane back home, on the way back home, we start planning our next trip.
Yeah. I mean,
When Gary Neville, when I met him, he asked me to say one word that would describe my feeling for United. And I kept thinking, and I said, addiction. Yeah, it is addiction.
Well, it costs as much as probably a smackhead on heroin.
Yeah.
It's cost us that.
Yeah.
I mean, like... just think I love the pre-season. I have to say, I've switched off, you know, tried to avoid the transfer bollocks. I do enjoy the month, but once, like, the buzz of it, I mean, you just... But for me, it's gone beyond football now. It's the friends, it's the camaraderie, it's the drink-ups.
Yeah.
It's everything. There's so many aspects to supporting United.
Oh, it is.
The 90 minutes is...
Oh, it's so much more than the 90 minutes. It's about, for a match day, obviously, it's about 9 hours.
Yeah.
Till you wake up in the morning. I'm so old-fashioned that I still buy the paper, read about the match, and then the build-up to the match, and then, of course, the pints afterwards, and sometimes even the curry.
So, I mean, like, if you get the ultimate aim in the next couple of years of the branch and United, what do you hope to see? More visits over here, presumably, if they can.
Yeah, that would be brilliant if the team could come over here, because it's a real boost for the supporters, like, whenever United come here. So, it's no hiding that our ambition is to reach 50,000 members.
And how many have you got at the moment?
At the moment, we've got 43,000.
That is incredible. Mm. I mean, you should be proud of that, guys.
We are, but it's a lot of, I have to mention Per here.
Yeah.
Per was the founder of the club. Imagine him starting it from his own, at his home when he was 18.
Yeah, Jesus. And how many members did he have at the start? Do you know?
About 20.
Right.
20. And then it grew and grew. So all credit to Per. Started it.
Yeah, and so Liverpool are big here as well. They've always had a traditional support base, haven't they?
Unfortunately, yes. they call us, you know, glory hunters, but they are the glory hunters because they started supporting the team when they won trophies.
Yeah.
Well, we started when we were
shit. Yeah, I mean, and that takes an extra spin. To have suffered some of those years from the 70s and 80s, people forget now.
Because
it was dire, wasn't it?
Because we could understand that it was much more about Manchester United than the trophies.
Yeah. I mean, you said the addiction, but what does the actual culture, you've got many friends in Manchester and all over, what does the actual culture mean to you of United?
Oh, it means a lot. I mean, without the fan culture, wouldn't be nothing. It could be, I would call it almost plastic.
Plastic.
So, so the fan culture means everything.
Well, now as the singing goes, I thank you a lot, Lars, and you're doing a great job. Cheers, mate. Enjoy the game. Thank